Do you believe in click it or tick it?
So, click it or ticket. This is Pete, Eugenio.
Hey guys, this is Glenn. I guess this is click it or ticket.
Yeah.
This is Nick Schaefer contesting the veracity of that statement. This may or may not be click it or ticket.
I like the faint, kind of.
Seen him in concert.
Yeah, we saw them last summer.
The guy wore a lab coat.
Oh yeah, and like weird
goggles.
Weird goggles. They weren't like. I wouldn't say they were.
I would say they were regular goggles.
They weren't pilot goggles.
And then his their guitar player looked like Gambit from X-Men Origins.
Yeah, they all had costumes.
I would say he looked like Night Stalker.
Ryan, you want to hit the lights
over
there?
I've had enough of this shit.
Right there.
I would say poo.
They're kind of blinding.
You would, but you know that it's a vulgar word and your parents raised you.
You
better.
Would say poo, but it's click it or ticket.
Hit the button below the black line.
Trying to
just
figure
once,
out
just once.
The Kirby's line. Dreamland, the current Podcast Central, is this renovated room at the end of Glenn's manor house. And the entire room can be controlled by remote control, including the lights. And all of it is way too confusing for me to use.
Mm. And all this is.
Yeah, the cable's been going out. Like every week, the cable goes out again. We have to call Cablevision. They have to reset our box.
Your house
remotely.
Doesn't have its own cable company?
No, right? I know. We have our own power grid, but no cable company. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Yeah, but so we have to call fucking Cablevision because it's so complicated because we have this God remote where I can, like, you know, cue the beer robot to come over and
make
a
Mike
brew.
Socia play Jeff Mathis over Mike Napoli all the time.
Yeah, so fantasy is in full swing, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it began on Easter Sunday and has not relented for a moment.
Yeah, Chug and Wieners, Glenn Marshall's team, is spearheading the movement right now.
Yeah, Chug and Wieners is forcing his opponent, Ryan Green, to chug his wiener.
Yeah, I think I'm up 115 to 69 and a half, maybe?
Oh, he fucking owned your ass, Ryan.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. I think,
you
know, Ryan,
Neil, if you have an extra set of headphones, you can get in on this act. Well, I mean, you can listen anyway.
I think Ryan just won. I think Ryan just actually is victorious for the week now because that.
What happened? Oh, the drop.
Because that drop response. That was
plus 20 points.
Greg and I are in a death match here. I'm up slightly. Pete has a comfortable lead over Rick the Brick, and Christian Swifty is beating Steven by like 80
boring
points.
Steve.
Yeah, boring Steve. Boring
Steve. Talk in terms of the podcast.
Boring Steve is going to score golf points where he wants to be as
low as possible.
Yeah, he wants his low. He was negative for the first 2 days.
Junior producer Alyssa is engaged in a grudge.
She's killing it.
She's in a grudge match with Nate, the auto-drafting great. So
he set his on auto-draft, so the computer took all of the best pitchers first.
We're all auto-drafting greats in the game of life.
Yeah, so, I mean, the real interesting thing for me, anyway, is what is an average week going to look like?
250.
Right now,
I'm saying
Pete's
250.
Saying, yeah, you said we were talking outside. Nick and I have talked before. Pete and I thought that maybe the average winning score would be around 300, but I still think that's high.
Why not?
I think the average score will be around 200. Maybe
currently, after
the average winning score will be about 250.
Currently, why after not? Two full days, most people are in the high 70s or mid 80s. So. I don't know, extrapolate that outwards. Yeah, probably like 250, 300.
But you also have to look at the opening day only had one game.
That's why I said two full days, because combining today is abbreviated with that.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, every day would count for that, because it's
Nick,
played 7 days
giving
a week.
The radio thumbs up to Pete.
Radio thumbs up.
Yeah.
What do you guys, all right, have you?
Doesn't count
what
fully
is what
still.
Is the most obnoxious thing that you've experienced another fan do at a baseball game?
Root for the White
I've
Sox.
I've told the story.
Hey,
with
fuck
the,
you. So this is going to sound really confusing.
This is really confusing. We just had a little technical malfunction, as we usually do. You know.
If we just continued straightforward. We'll edit this out. All this will be edited out.
This will all be
Ryan,
edited out.
Ryan, edit this out.
Don't edit this. This is hilarious. This is the
edit
best part of the podcast.
Edit this out.
Cock.
So
we're playing this for Pete's
I
parents
am
later.
Probably I'm a young kid. I don't know how old I was. And I think I went with a friend. I want to say like Richard Kurth. Definitely, yeah.
You love dropping the last names here.
Well, no, it's baseball. Like we went to baseball in fourth grade. Like woo. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. So this guy is doing the whole beer here, like, and this belligerent guy, like, because you know how they walk up one aisle, then they walk all the way down, and they walk across, and then up the next aisle?
They walk
the guy's
a lot.
In the middle of the section, so he's heckling him through this whole U.
Oh,
and he's like, call it Yankee beer. And the guy's like, beer here, just ignoring him. He's like, hey, fuck you. Hey, I'm fucking talking to you. You call it Yankee beer. And he was already belligerently drunk. And this was even before the plastic
beer.
Bottle implemented rule. Like, he could have done some damage, maybe.
Oh, did he actually throw something?
No, he physically and directly assaulted the beer vendor.
No, what did he do?
Oh, yeah. It was kind of like just overhand. They weren't punches, maybe.
He walked over to him?
It was more of a pummeling. Yeah, he, like, worked his way across, like, did the, like, not really excuse me, sorry thing through the seats, but it was just more like, like getting through all the seats, and then
he gave him an out though.
Well, the thing is,
he said call it Yankee beer, and he didn't.
The guy had the
motherfucker should have called it Yankee.
The guy had the big beer harness in front of him, you know, which goes out about like a foot and a half.
Yes.
So he just kind of like leaned back and protected himself, and the guy didn't really hit him flush with anyone, but he kind of did a little flurry, and he was immediately like dragged away by security.
I'm glad it was so important to him.
Fuck you, you piece of shit. You call it Yankee beer.
I love the fact that
and
it's
then,
like...
And then the thing is, after he had his like blow up, it's like, all right, now I'm going to like mosey through the aisle. Like, there was a big pause where he was still super pissed, but he had to like slowly work his way through the crowd.
Excuse me. Yeah. Sorry. Go Yankees. Sorry.
Yankee beer. Okay. Tell your friends. Okay.
Tell your friends. Woof, I'm out of breath.
I also
shouldn't have drank so much Yankee beer. Woo!
Part of it is the Yankees sort of have this weird marketing angle where it's like
the Bronx
Yankees,
beer.
No, where it's like we're Yankees, like royalty of baseball. None of our pitchers have beards. That sort of, you know, and champions always the elite, best of everything. And then
perfect pinstripes.
And but then there's this guy who's kind of probably buys into that completely, and he's like, because of that, it's like show respect, call it Yankee beer, and then. It's kind of like a Christian being like, I am such a big Christian that I need to murder this gay person with my pickup truck. It's like
and drag him until he's in pieces. And
I was about to say,
call it Christian beer.
I was about to say Jesus, and I started to say Jeter, which was perfect.
Jeter
would not approve.
You mean the baseball messiah?
Would Jeter drink Yankee beer before an at bat?
Yes. No. He's all baseball.
It's consummate professional.
He doesn't even shoot dip. Right, guys?
What?
He doesn't chew, does he?
No.
Chew doesn't chew. He advertises for Ford.
Best play ever.
Yeah. It's really funny because he has trouble. It sounds like he has great difficulty speaking. If he can't memorize the lines, and he can't read very well either. So he's got that Ford Taurus. It's like the Ford Activity Playpen website.
Jeter's Ford Edge.com.
No, and he's got that weird monotone, so he's like, have you seen my new Ford Yankee website yet? If not, you should really check it out. And it sounds like it's this national commercial that's broadcast everywhere, and it's got the biggest star they can get, and it's this massive national. It sounds like, you know, the third string offensive lineman for the Eagles' local Philadelphia used car sales commercial that only gets played on public access, that sort of thing. But it's
well,
this
it's
national.
That quality, but it's
so why do people hate him?
I don't. I'm a Red Sox fan, and I don't hate him.
I hate how people talk about him.
Yeah, there is. It gets super gay. If you take as gay as John Madden is to Brett Favre, all sports announcers are gay to Derek.
Yeah, Derek Jeter is the Brett Favre of baseball.
Fair, you mean he's the best? I agree.
Yeah, and his
I
dad's
mean, he's on my fantasy team. I think he's fucking great. He's a great baseball player.
That's the thing.
Definitely in the Hall of Fame.
I had some overweight Yankee fan in his late 50s explain to me tearfully. about how Jeter not only was a great player, but that he was a phenomenal human being, and that like he deserved the like hit Yankees hits.
Didn't he cheat on Mariah Carey? Who would do such a thing?
Apparently, a lot of people claim that he's given herpes to both like Jessica Alba and Jessica Biel.
Good for him, man. Jessica Biel.
Yeah, that's a two for two right there. Is the same.
I can't tell who's hotter though, Jessica Alba or Jessica Biel. Because they're both opposites.
Pete, break the tie?
That's actually... No.
One's the buxom American woman.
Before
you know,
I break the
Biel.
Tie, I think it really depends on your type. So let's go. Nick, your type?
I'd probably lean
you're
towards...
You're an Alba.
Alba, yeah.
I knew you were.
I'm,
and you're a
I'm
Biel.
Leaning towards Biel because I would want to procreate with her. And make like,
yeah, we want to fuck both of them, Glenn.
No, no, but like actually procreate, like create life.
Yeah, I want to come in them as well.
No, that's, no. I want to impregnate her and have children with her.
You know, I mean, if if they blow you, you won't knock her up, dude. Don't worry
I
want to
have
it.
Huge, like 6'5" monster here. Children.
Was Jessica Biel in Blade 3?
Yes.
So
she
hot.
Shot a laser bow. Which
she
could also, the thing is, she could draw it back and shoot laser arrows with it, but then she could also use the bowstring to cut people.
I think what.
So I don't really know where you draw the line there. Like, did it, like, melt her fingers? Did she have, like, calluses of layers and layers of scars
but
on her two drawing
Fantastic
fingers?
Four, Jessica Alba could be invisible.
Yeah, but she wasn't good at it.
I think.
No.
I think. The biggest problem I had with Blade 3, besides the fact that I can't get enough of it, it's my favorite movie, is
the fact that Blade 4
it's a problem. Blade
wasn't immediately
problem.
Following
Blade
3.
The biggest problem with Blade 3 is that I can't like focus on my work or do anything else because all I'm thinking about is Blade 3. But besides that, was that she before she goes to fight the vampire stronghold with Blade,
mm-hmm.
she puts in earbuds and blasts techno music.
She puts in her iPod.
Yeah, her iPod earbuds and blasts techno music. You would think if, as a human, you were fighting vampires with presumably increased speed and reflexes.
Super senses. Too.
Yeah, yeah. You would think you'd want to be able to hear not Fatboy Slim or like the Crystal Method or whatever the hell she was listening to.
You've obviously never fought vampires.
I mean, not with a bow.
I can see zombie killing, maybe. No? Zombie killing?
Zombies, yeah. You don't need to. Well, you kind of want to hear the no, shambling and the. Yeah.
But the thing is, if you're like, if you see like a pack of 12.
You know what? I'm
going like
to go on the record. I'm going to go on the record. Anytime that there are undead beasts shambling about and I am in a position of vulnerability and need to battle them, I want to be able to have all my senses at the ready. Except
see,
for maybe taste.
I guess I'm big. So I think if there was
zombies
like,
will still bite your ass.
No, I know that, but if it's like if I had the option, it's like, do I go after this whole, like this pack of 12 zombies just for the sole sake of like I'm not trying to avoid them. I'm like seeking them out to destroy them. I would love to just put them down for good. Listening to some fucking awesome music.
I would.
I would. I would. Hey, wait. Start. Hit that again.
I would
want to do that as well.
Yeah.
But I don't want to. In the earbuds. Maybe if I were driving around in like a souped up bus.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
All
right,
if I were in a souped up bus, you know, which had like a cow catcher in the front, like cannons and stuff, and like a generator, and had like speakers on the top, because you need to be able to communicate with survivors outside mm-hmm. the bus, I would blast like Barracuda by heart and like, and you know, shoot the auto cannons at the zombies and like run them over. And you know, maybe others, Death Clock for sure.
Oh. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I want to slam down a boombox and run at the horde of zombies listening to, like, Thunder Horse. You know?
Yeah, the thing about rage zombies, the zombies who can sprint, which seems to be the new motif for zombies, which I don't know why. Regardless.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I don't think a corpse would be able to do that. That's, like, been reanimated.
Yeah, I think
whoa,
the idea
whoa,
that it's not a corpse.
Why are you a fan of Rage Virus?
Oh, I'm a fan.
It wiped out London, dick!
Yeah, but
in
28
days,
the equipment on the mic.
Oh, it obviously makes much more sense for zombies.
Or then, yeah, well,
but like the thing is, your typical zombie movie or just zombie story or anything with zombies, it's like an ordinary person could learn to survive in this. Whereas rage zombies, it's like the weak are immediately gone. Even most of the strong, by happenstance, are gone. The odds of the human race,
and then the rest
of
them are capturing survivors and systematically raping them.
I mean, obviously the rage zombies, the rage zombies would suck. But the thing I was thinking though, it's just like, well, fuck, they're fast or whatever. It's like, but how many marathon sprinters are we going to see that become zombies?
Mm-hmm.
And how many, even if they do become zombies, are you going to encounter?
Although part
life?
Of it is, part of it's because of the rage virus. What really stops you when you're running is it's like exhaustion. If these guys are so,
oh, I understand that, but how much could their legs possibly do
before they're like injured? And
plus, they're decayed.
They would injure their legs and start to like not be able to move that well, no matter what the whether they feel the pain or
exactly.
not.
Exactly.
And the other thing is, the thing with the rage zombies is. You could hunker down and like wait for them to die.
Yeah.
The reanimated corpses, you can't wait their asses out. You got to keep moving.
You
got to keep
finding. You guys aren't of the school where the raid zombie, you do kind of need to weather the initial storm.
Of every school.
But the thing is, then I am immediately going to start picking them off.
Why? Raid zombies? Why?
Oh, yeah.
No, you only need to survive it. You have enough food, canned food and shit to survive in your house for 28 days. Lock all the fucking doors.
Are we going on the theory that after, they're going to expire?
Those are human bodies with a virus. I don't know why they don't turn on each other and eat each other. That's never, adequately addressed. But
it would just be a big flesh pile by the end of it. They would just eat the shit.
After,
eight hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? They'd be like, oh, I'm fucking hungry. Here's more food.
I think it's a pheromone thing. They recognize their own as dead, so there's no draw.
But at what point do the pheromones control stuff like urges, but when that doesn't overcome a survival instinct.
Yeah, our survival instinct to hunt and shit and gather, it's like, oh yeah, but there's a big fucking dead, there's carrion here. A human would still eat it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, humans still eat each other when the time comes. Oh, that's
my point is,
yeah, but if do you eat a half dead rotting human?
You would if you were starving.
If it's that or dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think they have that mindset.
Yeah,
they're
just
straight.
That's my argument. Is they would just fucking do it.
Yeah.
If one of them was cut, it would turn into a shark pool. They would just start fucking frenzying and eating each other.
Pete.
I guess my ultimate point would be is most people. Say it's zombie invasion, shambling zombies I can handle, but rage zombies, rage virus, no way. The rage zombies, I can't do that. It's why not just post up and let them die? Regardless, even though they run, who cares? It's not like they can think. If they could think, we'd be fucked because they just keep multiplying as they die. But if they can run, so what? Because they're decaying anyway, and how fast are people, really? I mean, obviously, if you're obese, sorry, you're going to die. Okay.
I think zombie movies are unanimous on that point, is if you can't book it.
Well, there's obviously a first tier. It's the people who don't have guns. They're always the first to go.
You think so?
Yeah.
It isn't the people in the crowd. It isn't the first person to go is always.
It's not what you
the
have.
The first people to go are the ones who can't recognize that when someone is clearly a dead body shambling at them, it's like, hey, buddy, are you okay?
Oh, we need to get this guy some help.
Man, this guy who's covered in blood all over the place smelled a corpse. He bit me.
I would disagree, Dick Whitman, because.
Oh, I thought we were saving this for the 100th episode is when I would come back as Dick Whitman.
Oh,
you're still coming back. You will.
Oh, you're
except
Dick
then you'll be Dick Whitman.
Spoiler
Super
alert
Saiyan.
For 10 seconds but, ago.
But,
but what were you going to say, Pete, about first person to go? Or
the thing, I don't think it's the first person to go is the person who... if you have a gun, I don't think that excludes you from the first person to go. I think it's just a matter of can you defend yourself... Well enough. Yeah,
did
I
you play enough Counter-Strike to put yourself in a defensive position?
Headshot.
Yeah, see the thing. Either way, for me,
you.
It's just on.
Well, that's from Unreal Tournament.
You know what I mean? It's on. All bets are off.
I know
and it's
you'd call them.
On.
You'd call them faggots and hit them with bricks and
no,
shit.
No, no,
I get it, but
it doesn't really make a difference. The only difference is how you plan for it, but either way, life is over and it's just go time.
I would love to see a zombie movie where, and I guess Zombieland was kind of like this, but. I guess something that was very much like this, but where the character where all of the populace of the world is familiar with zombie movies as our world populace
mm-hmm.
is now,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and behaved accordingly. Because then you wouldn't have the whole but it's my dad. It's it's not your dad anymore. But it's my it's not your dad. That 40-minute fucking debate, and then the kid gets eaten by the dad because they can't get over the fact that it's a zombie. The concept of zombie movies, zombies have been. It's been around since before we were born at this point.
Yeah, the scene with the sisters where she's like, no, I'm going to fucking do it. We need to kill, my sister, you know?
Yeah, but that was all...
It was all a ploy, obviously, but
it was
a
all
very,
a dream.
It was a very believable ploy, because I'm
There's
sure they've seen that,
zombie
over
magazine.
And over again. You know?
We always come back to zombie apocalypse.
It's great. It's a great fucking topic. It's going to happen.
More philosophical than perhaps most philosophers would deem. But, that's why we got the radio show. That's why we got the show.
Yeah.
That's why. Not because we have a bunch of mics and equipment and are really self-absorbed and wanted to do it. It's because of the zombie apocalypse.
You know what my favorite part of this of having this podcast is?
Is that we're three dogs?
The zombie apocalypse
three?
Is...
It's when I go back and listen to the episodes and I hear my own voice.
Mm.
That's my favorite
Yeah,
part.
I get a little wood when I hear my own voice. Yeah.
I've never listened to a Click It or Ticket episode.
I start to chub up a little
bit. This is episode 97, right? Yeah. You know, the 1997 J.B. Inner hit 40 home runs. That's your fact of the day here from Nick at Click It
or Take It. He also was a great logger.
Like a freaking Snapple.
Except this is 100% true. Or is it?
Oh.
He actually hit 40 home runs that year.
Try the dry diet green tea metabolism.
Bigelow.
Bigelow.
So what do you guys think of that Sammy Sosa there?
He'll do well.
What do you think of that Sammy Sosa?
I have Mark McGwire on my fantasy team. He's going to hit 72.
What do you guys think of the fact that he was on a lot of steroids?
We should do a fantasy draft for historical seasons. It's like I'll take 1927 Babe Ruth.
Fuck that. I'm taking everyone from like 99 to 2001.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You look at shit where Larry Walker hit 360 with like 49 home runs and finished like 12th in MVP voting.
Exactly.
Because everyone fucking
did
that.
Dude, if we were playing fantasy,
still won MVP,
then,
though.
If, like, see, you know how stocks split? It would have been the opposite for the fantasy scoring now. It's like we're going to have to like double your scores to match like what it was in 2000 because like you're just not producing like they used to.
Larry Walker hit three in 1997 hit 366 with a 720 slugging percentage, 49 home runs and 33 stolen bases to win the MVP.
Good.
To win the MVP. 2 years later, however, he hit 379.
A dismal
with a 710 slugging percentage. 37 home runs, finished 10th in MVP voting. That's with
the
gold glove.
The
7-10th in MVP voting.
The 7-10 slugging percentage.
It was deemed that there were 10 players with better seasons, 9 players with better seasons than that.
So he became a zombie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sammy Sosa that
is
year
the HGH.
Hit 63 home runs.
HRH, human rage hormone.
63 home runs that year. He finished 9th in MVP voting.
And then he corked his bat the next year.
Cork your glove. All right.
Cork
so.
Your lovely. It's great.
Now, Cork which is Ramada? Worse, zombie-rage virus or the Chinese invading?
Give me the Chinese.
Give me the Chinese any day.
Oh, yeah, because we haven't had, I mean, granted, there are a billion of them, but, like, they can't, A, even if they were to give them all, like, surplus from World War II, they can't arm, like, their populace into, like, a 200 million man army.
Or deliver them effectively. The other thing is, the United States in an open land war, the technology we've developed, there's so much shit we don't even know about. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine in his just finished his officer training school for the Navy. And on his, they have this new, destroyer that he's working on.
Destroyer?
And I
the
think,
bone melting
I
gun,
I think
yeah.
this like computer locked gun that goes, you know, can lock on for miles or whatever, fires, I think 36,000 rounds per minute. So.
But the classic disconnect in the military-industrial complex has been that technology can make up for accuracy, which reduces collateral damage. But in practice, it's not very true.
Oh, first of all, you need to stop reading the back of Eisenhower's autobiography. Two, I think that China's strength, though, would be just sort of swarming numbers.
It's the same thing it is in your economy. It's human capital. You know, they don't have all the tanks and shit that we would have. They would just pour men at us. And our military is so fucking good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, please.
The United States problem right now is finding the people
to
kill
them.
Yeah, it was actually not killing them.
It had been an anniversary since the conflict with the Somalian pirates or whatever.
Yeah.
But one of the few things Obama has done is he gave the executive order to use lethal force against the pirates. And Matt Lauer, when they were interviewing him on the year anniversary of it, they were saying, it's like, how do you know you weren't endangering, like, innocent lives, which is preposterous, but or the lives of the crew. And what Obama's response was very calculated and I think really the truth. He said, when you're the commander-in-chief of the U.S. forces, you realize that they are the most well-equipped and have the best judgment because of their training, and will know exactly what to do. They'll know who to take out when they need to take them out.
All these scenarios have been worked out a million times.
They're waiting for it.
Well, no,
it's
with that
like
said, have you guys seen the WikiLeaks video of the Apache helicopter that attacks the cameraman from Reuters that was released over the weekend, and everybody's up in arms on the internet?
No, I haven't even heard about this.
Oh,
shit.
You need
post
to watch
it on the
it.
Site!
Because it's basically
save it for the cast.
Oh, all right.
The other cast.
I'll save it for another one, but basically it's
what happened.
These Apache helicopter pilot and his gunner that attack a Reuters cameraman and his buddy because they were with armed guards in an area that they shouldn't have been armed guards with, and they mistook the cameras for RPGs.
Oh.
So they killed all of them.
Well, I'm sorry, Reuters people.
Yeah, you shouldn't be
carrying
an armed posse into a combat zone.
And then a van went to go and pick up the bodies dash wounded, and the van had kids in it. They unloaded on the van because it was picking up insurgents at the time.
Why would you bring fucking kids
into a combat zone?
Well, you know, they don't have the best education system.
Yeah,
but then
oh my
still,
God,
it's
Reuters.
Like, neither of those are our fault.
Right. So everybody on the internet is like, oh, this is suddenly a conspiracy. We've been hiding this video for some reason. And the government just released it. Not to WikiLeaks, not to anybody, in public. But it's just, now it's like all the liberals.
We can only make
decisions
with the information that we're given. And if that was you and you're a fucking Apache Longbow pilot and you see a bunch of things that like probably from the air look like a Scorpion missile launcher or something like maybe a lot less sophisticated and like a bunch of armed guards, I'm sorry if they're in plain clothes and they look shady. You don't risk an RPG in a helicopter.
Well,
if you have a split second,
the most compelling
belly.
Thing to me isn't just the oh cameras look like whatever. What's compelling thing to me that Neil said is that they brought armed guards with them.
Right, and the thing was in at that period in 2007, the region they were in Iraq or in Baghdad, was a nobody has guns of any sort.
Live
period,
and like a live combat zone sort of thing. I mean,
right, if you show up in a gun in this region, you're not a bodyguard, you're an insurgent.
If I pull out a pistol in a courtroom and a bailiff shoots me dead, if it turns out to be like a cap gun,
they take one of those carts that they use to deliver room service at fancy hotels, and there are a bunch of kids in it, and I use it as like a barricade to run in, like shooting to like get your body and drag it to safety, and then they unload on the cart and it kills a bunch of kids and me. Again, not the bailiff's fault. Yeah. Probably not.
Okay, all right. It took me a second to like work that scene.
Oh yeah, it was fucking deep.
No,
it was deep.
Yeah. How do you manifest that situation?
Hey, dude, I was trying to take your.
No, I understand what you're doing, but how is that that popped in your mind?
I want to say, I don't know.
I just thought it
was funny. It's very. Oh, I know it was.
You know, because there people are always
the bailiff
hiding.
Is like hosing
people are well. Okay, I
no,
thought
no, no,
like
it's not the matter of the bailiff
what,
or whatever.
I thought, what can you
it's
take?
Just, like, it's just like you immediately like transfer yourself to a hotel room. It's like, all right, I have a bellhop thing. I'm gonna kill this dude. I remember there are children inside.
No. I'm saying you take the bellhop, like not the bellhop thing, like the thing you deliver.
The room service.
Yeah,
guard.
Where it has the cloth over it. And in every movie, like every there's so
it's
many
like
movies
a mob movie
where there
the
are people hiding
out.
In there, but it's like there's kids hiding in there.
I know,
but you're using it as a shield. And you just run in screaming, and then they unload on you and end up killing all the kids.
Oh, man, turban time. So you're clicking her ticket.
Oh, la, 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 la. That was a yawn.
La, 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 la.
Oh, so I have a very odd story.
Oh, yeah, you promised this as we entered. You volunteered to save this for the cast.
So I was walking home from the train station in Darien, and I walk right through Tilly Pond. And I see like a pretty cute Latina chick and this housewife with a stroller looking at the pond and across the pond.
So the housewife was the Latina's maid.
No, she
plot
was
twist.
Separate.
Oh. Plot twist.
Plot twist. Thank you, M. Night Neil Malone.
Here at Clicker,
M. Neil Shyamalan.
Yeah. So we look. They're looking across the pond. I see, and there's this like I don't know if it's a I think it's a Portuguese water dog. Was what I was looking at.
It was the dog of choice of Barack Obama and Ted Kennedy.
Yeah, so this thing is running all along the opposing bank, barking up a storm.
Promoting health care.
Yeah. Free health care for all is what I translated the barks to be. It was more of a series
free
of
care for all.
It was a series of feelings and like sensory emotions.
You heard a voice in your brain, but you wouldn't call it a voice.
They weren't words.
Yeah,
so they weren't words. They were more ideas. They were
you.
Showing me images and feelings and stuff.
Telepathic dog time.
Yeah,
and click it or take
it. So the dog's booking it back up and across the bank, barking at these geese. And this lady has what looks like a empty bottle of laundry detergent on a rope, and there's some shit inside that she's rattling around. It's making noise. The dog's going nuts.
Is this the dog's owner?
I guess. At this point, I have no idea. So she takes the thing, and it's kind of, you know how, like, when they throw out, like, the life saver thing on a boat.
Yeah.
It's like that thing on a string. She's doing that, but like not to the dog or not at anything. It's just kind of like the dog. I don't know what the dog's doing, but the dog just books it into the Tilly Pond and starts swimming around after these geese in Tilly Pond. And I sat there for like a half hour, and she's yelling at it, and I keep thinking that the dog's not listening to her, and it's just chasing the geese, and she keeps throwing this Tide container out into the pond.
How old was this woman?
She's probably 50, 45, but then she's praising the dog. I'm really confused, but me and this housewife and this Latina lady are just laughing our fucking asses off, because this just looks, she's just yelling up a storm on the other side of the bank, and this dog is just swimming after all the geese. He'd like section one off, and then it would start to fly and get away, and then he'd go after some more, and she's yelling at him.
Honey,
and
I'm going to take the dog out and scream at some geese.
No, which language was she yelling
English,
at?
English.
Oh, okay.
And I sat there for about a half hour. She's like, good boy. Like, come on, come here. Good boy. Like, and I'm like, oh, right. This lady is just like out of her fucking mind. So I walk all the way to my house, and right before I'm making the turn onto Middlesex Road from Leroy, her car goes by me and stops at the red light and makes a right. And it says, like, Goose Chasers or something.
What?
And it's a picture of her dog on the side of the car with, like, four geese, and it's, like, swimming in the water after them.
So she just trains her dog to, like, chase geese?
I don't know if this is, like, a service she provides to, like, fuck with geese for the town.
So her dog is, like, a falcon.
Yeah, her dog is basically, like, I guess a municipal employee, sort of. It's, like, a independent contractor for the town to fuck with the geese.
And where does the laundry detergent bottle come into this?
That's the thing I had no idea.
I feel like, as a visual, that would probably be the thing that made me laugh the most.
Yeah, no,
because
she keeps drawing it in, right? And then she throws it out, and it's on this long rope, and then she drags it in.
Why is this acting?
Yeah, I'm acting it out here, but it made no sense at the time, and now that I know what she was doing, possibly for a living, professionally.
Yeah, that's her job.
I still have no idea what that, like, Tide bucket thing was.
I feel like you could just spend, like...
But it was hilarious.
I feel like you could just spend, like, $18.50 on some bottle rockets and do the same shit. That probably freaked the geese out more.
I thought it was funny when... Like, I thought it was really funny initially when I thought she was just yelling at the dog, and it was like, ah, fuck you, no, I'm just gonna keep chasing these geese. And that's why I watched it for a half hour. It's like, poor lady yelling at
her dog back.
Trying to get her dog to come to shore, and it just wants that to fuck with the geese. But then, like, I find out later, I think it's almost funnier.
That's what she does with her time. Her husband must want, on a scale from one to divorce, he has to be like 312.
Do you think that's what she's wanted to do since she was a kid?
I guess.
She grew up wanting to.
She improvised. She improvised.
Did the dog ever, like, catch the geese, or did, like, scare them off?
It would get close. It would get close, and then the geese would just, like, do that thing where they, like, sort of fly on top of the water.
Yeah,
you know?
They just flap their wings.
They beat the water, yeah.
So she accomplished nothing.
Like, I can
she might as well have, like, waded into the tides of the Pacific Ocean and started, like, hitting the waves and yelling
them. Yeah, well, yeah. I can picture her as a young lass in school looking out the window at a pond with a bunch of geese, shaking her fist at them. And one day I'll train a dog to get you. And the first one,
I'll train a dog to jump in the water.
The geese turned on him. He was chasing one of them. And then oh, what is this, Ryan?
Beast in Patterson,
Welcome
New York.
Welcome to Humane Goose Control.
Beast-Off is a humane goose control company. We use teams of skilled dog handlers and highly trained border collies to solve geese problems in New York City, Long Island, Westchester, Putnam, Dutchess, and Southern Connecticut.
That's us, you guys.
Properties that typically suffer from problems with Canada geese in our area are schools, colleges, corporate campuses, gated communities.
Wait, can't you do the same thing with a laser pointer?
Can't you just shoot them?
Yeah,
true.
How about
and feed the homeless.
Yeah, the NRA's been controlling geese.
Can't you just fire a warning shot over their head?
The homeless love goose meat.
See, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm fucking saying. Like I said, $18 and some bottle rockets would have been fucking hilarious. And all these kids who were throwing fireworks and you're like hauling them to jail and shit, just be like, here. Go throw them at these fucking geese.
I think we might have stumbled on a great enterprise. We could go to, like, the town hall and be like, we're like pioneering a new humane goose control situation.
And we just get Bowie.
We get money. No, and then we just get, like, an air rifle and go to the ponds all day and just shoot them in the head. Or we just get drunk and yell at them.
Yeah, but we need to shoot at them
this
and
is
get
humane.
Drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
Shooting
and fucking goose. Get a fucking job.
Shooting and drinking go hand in hand.
They have a series of videos. This is called In Dogged Pursuit of Geese, Roman numeral 4, how we do it. And there's a dramatic shot of geese from a car and then a guy giving a testimonial and a border collie sprinting after him. The thing is, there's no indication that once the geese have been chased away that they didn't just come right back.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you know what? Actually, Click It or Take It already does this if you look at our one photo.
Yeah.
I actually am a pioneer in this field.
Fuck these guys for horning in on our industry.
Pete has an MBA in gooseology.
It's true.
That's the thing about... If,
I
said
the .gif in gooseology.
You know that if there was like a forensic files...
I have a .gif entitled Gooseology.
You know that there's like a forensic files where someone, like the killer stepped in goose shit, there would be like goose shit footprint expert that they called in from Reno, Nevada or something.
Played by Michael Schulwalter.
Or played by Matt Howard, center for the Butler men's basketball team. That guy looked fucking bizarre. Is my
point. So here at the house, we'll let Bowie out of his fenced-in area, my dog. And he'll take off like that scene in Snatch after the geese down by our pond. But, I mean, obviously he never catches them.
Snatch was filmed at your house.
Yeah, it was. but he gets real low and goes after him. And they fly away. They go into the water. And then he goes back inside. And they just come back onto the grass and start eating it again.
And then you shoot them.
They're relentless. Yeah, so the only way to solve this unsolvable problem is by killing
the band.
Yeah.
I've got more than enough guns for all of us.
Every rose has its thorns is the solution.
Neil smiles.
Neil actually has a Benelli tactical shotgun, don't you?
Yeah, more than one.
Oh.
Mm. How much does a tactical shotgun cost these
days? It really depends on how crazy you want to go with it. Surprisingly enough, it's gotten cheaper.
Oh, yeah, no, the gun economy apparently... when the recession was at its worst, gun purchasing like went through the roof.
Oh, yeah,
it was up 25%.
There was a problem in Florida where they ran out of ammo. There was like an ammo
shortage. I was actually shipping boxes of ammo to my father from Connecticut to Texas because he couldn't find enough of it.
Yeah, there was there was an ammo shortage.
I love the state. Let me hear your
guns. Enough is a context-specific term. So when you say enough of it, enough... For
the demand.
Oh, no. Like, I was shipping them like 100, 200 rounds of 12 gauge, just standard duck hunting stuff.
Oh.
Nothing crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they can be used for people hunting, but.
No, I don't mean for what activity. I mean, it's like, holy shit, I can't
they
fire
They can be used for the second most
times.
Dangerous game of all, goose.
My roommate at school, Sam, after 9/11, his dad bought like an M16 and all these guns because he's like, one of these days the fucking terrorists are going to, you know, like, what are they going to land in New York City and
Bedford,
like,
New York.
Start working their way up towards Westchester County? Taking town after town, like absolutely
building by building by plane.
And if they were doing that successfully, you're probably better off not having a gun.
Yeah, if they can land in New York or like in Westchester and then like fucking take that area blitzkrieg style, you might as well just like hide.
Hope that they're not killing people without guns.
Yeah,
I mean, the thing that's exactly what's in the TV series Rome. They hire this Roman soldier to try to train a young Augustus how to fight, and Augustus is like pissed off and frustrated because he's a young, scrawny intellect. And the guy says, you know, you could turn out to be a middling swordsman. And he says, graveyards are full of middling swordsmen. Better be no swordsman at all. And that's how you should tell that to Sam's dad, Sam's Town.
Yeah.
If they take Sam's Town,
it's weird.
They'll have a really crappy album.
He went through a few phases. It's a midlife crisis mixed with the extreme Judaism. Where, like, not only does he go through
the... He started building settlements.
No,
I went through a phase, an album by Lemon Street Morning. Check out the album on iTunes. All right. Continue.
It's not just, like, your normal midlife crisis phase. When you have that much money, you can go crazy. So you can buy all the best guns. You can buy, like, 8 guns. He went through a motorcycle phase. He dropped, like, $50,000 in a Harley just and never rides it now.
When I hear about stuff like that, I just want to make an exasperated noise, sort of like begin an expression of...
I agree with...
I'm so hungry.
How does that start?
Oh, you got it.
Just like that.
Yeah.
I'm
going to text her again.
We do have something from JPA today, which is sex related.
Ooh.
We've talked about Amazon reviews here before.
You don't have that with her.
We've talked about this before.
You just don't.
Tangent are we getting off onto
this
right
is
now?
Amazon. You know, we've read Amazon reviews before.
Word on the street on Amazon is
this
Nick,
is not
Nick's
goose. This is not goose related.
Oh, you're ruining my night.
I know. All right. Well, hey, maybe I'm spoiling it. This may be goose related.
Oh, okay. All right.
This is an Amazon product, and it's called We Vibe. All
right.
What do you think that is?
We Vibin'.
What do you think WeVibe is?
An MP3 player.
It's this new thing for the Nintendo Wii where you vibe.
Okay. He's way more touch and sensitive.
Also incorrect. Hadley is also correct. Ryan is way more sensitive. Ryan, what do you think We Vibe is?
Throw on your, like, windshield wipers a little faster, and then then you can see it.
Then you can see the We Vibe. Glenn, thoughts?
It's Wee Man playing a vibraphone.
This is probably way too obvious. Easy. This is probably difficult because it's so obvious. It's a clitoral vibrating device that you use during sex.
Oh.
And there was a review from, quote, Proud Lesbian. And she says...
I never wrote this.
Pete, all right.
I don't remember writing
Pete,
this.
Pete, can you read this in the voice of a very angry Scottish man?
Oh, my Scottish isn't too good.
All right, how about in as a very angry man speaking English but with a German accent?
Okay.
You think you can do that?
And it's from the bottom here.
It's you can see.
It doesn't get much better than inside when you're being penetrated. Hard to explain, but trust me, it is intense. Mind-blowing orgasms over and over.
You're going to love my nuts.
Scottish. What would a great or a straight couple also? I get incredibly wet while using this! Like never before!
You didn't slam the podium enough and then fix your comb over. You're getting all
he
sweaty.
He was fixing his comb over, he just can't see it.
Yeah, he wasn't sweaty enough.
I made up for it by guessing like a thousand
juice. It's Dr. Contrarian, motherfucker.
Whoa, dude, that's
Air Contrarian.
I appreciate that Amazon sells vibrators.
We're at 41 Rock.
Well, they sell anything.
I think it's great.
Now's not the time for dick measuring.
I wonder if there are... user reviews for vibrators have to be... I wonder if there are people who are, like, really unhappy with their vibrators.
I mean, you can't return it, though. You know?
I want to buy a used vibrator.
You know, I bought a vibrator once, and I was just like, fuck this.
And then you did.
I like the penises.
And then I did. And then I was like, yeah.
I like the penises and vaginas modeled after real people. That shit cracks me up.
Oh, yeah. Terrible.
We need to splurge and get that to us.
Yeah, I want to have Ron Jeremy.
The negative
celebrities
we are.
One of the active discussions and related forums to one of this vibrator reviews is just called animal porn.
Wait, what is the other people bought this item?
Oh, it was sent to me in an email. I'm just looking at another vibrator. Other people bought. All right, so this is a similar product.
Jim Norton.
Celebrator vibrator sex toy for women highly orgasmic. Others are the Hitachi Magic Wand Vibrator Kit Best Value.
Mm-hmm.
The Classic. Celebrator Replacement Tips 3-Pack.
Hitachi Value Kit, the Wait, best of any!
The Smart Balls by Fun Factory Kegel Exerciser.
Vibrator! Ryan,
what would it sound like if...
you would rub your clitoris with the vibrator!
Go back to the previous tab that drops here. Ryan, what would it sound like if your cousin were to use the Smart Balls by Fun Factory Kegel Exerciser?
It is a very, very pleasurable. Hi.
Check these boxes. Our tags customers associate with this product. Adult, dildo, sex toy, vibrator, female orgasm, girlfriends, panty DVD, Playboy, and topless. Mm. I don't know what being topless has to do. I mean, I know it has to do with a vibrator sort of tangentially.
I can't get off with the vibrator.
Some 3-star reviews. Takes getting used to. The 2 speeds are both very fast and take a lot of getting used to.
They're both very fast.
Wouldn't one
be fast and the other's even faster?
Oh, I need a vibrator my speed.
But the fourth
this
vibrator was just
too,
right.
Yeah, I was just going to, no, you fucking do that. No.
Sorry, dude.
I have a vibrator right in your guys' wheelhouse. It's called the Porridge. And it comes in 3 speeds.
Liquefies your clit.
One melts your clit. One puts it to sleep. The middle one is perfect.
Why wouldn't they all just be the perfect speed? I don't.
Because I'm a terrible businessman.
One puts it to sleep.
And I've lost thousands upon thousands of dollars.
What's this? This is called the Porridge Band.
The Porridge XL.
It's a bucket of porridge with saran wrap over it that you deliver personally.
Some guy named Hank shakes it on your van.
I'm Hank May. Try my porridge vibrator. All I ask is that you put it in your cunt if you're not satisfied.
No, better than some guy named Hank.
Up?
I would love to see Adam West sell this product.
I'd buy it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, this review makes it sound fantastic. This is,
I'd this love to see a porridge ghost of Billy Mays selling them.
This is called this review is called Puss Puss from Sarks 2. Well, well, well. What can I say about a clit vibrator that has you super aroused from the start? We're about to find out what they can say.
I don't
about
know.
It.
Why don't
expound, please.
Yeah.
Placing it right under the clit is a mind-bending sexual experience. I'm usually very aware and have a lot of control over my orgasm, but this baby is like a rocket ship to the moon. We're clear for takeoff.
It's the Jimmy Gleason special.
Was this review helpful to you?
Red in the scene.
Qualified, yes.
One of the strongest vibes I used. Needs a third speed, though. Slow is okay, and fast is, well, it's fast! No happy medium, so of course pretty much stays on fast. Use lots of lubes. If not, it will hurt your clit.
Wait, how old?
There was an ellipsis.
Surgeon General.
There was an ellipsis before it will hurt your clit, and is fast was in caps. That was a genuine, true to form.
Wow.
I'm true to the author's intent.
All right.
It will hurt your clit.
That's good delivery, my friend.
You'll feel the burn instantly.
I like that guy exhaling in the background. To remind us that
you
were breathing
out. You know the other drop you need to use right now, Ryan.
30, 45 seconds, and I was already covered in sweat.
You know what I was
not
saying?
Bad.
There's one more.
But what does that simulate when they use
it? I haven't had a pump like this for a long time.
No, there's...
I'm thinking about something along
you're
the
dancing
tree.
Around it.
One
stop
more, same
stop
same
teasing
same
our drop
same
clit.
Commercial.
Stop teasing our drop clit.
Same commercial, same commercial.
You're going to love my nuts.
Same commercial.
Oh, I'm thinking different commercial.
I'm on the same page.
Is that the resin?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I was going with resin.
We inject our special resin.
It sounds like they're feeding pigs.
You know what I was thinking of? We should make our own fleshlight company.
We've discussed this before. We had a
no,
dick
no, no,
sucking.
No,
we had
idea.
A chair that sucked your dick.
Yeah, I know.
We discussed that for like 20 minutes.
I think we've done that on multiple episodes, but here's the idea. You remember those electronic ab belts that you put on your
yeah,
abs?
Yeah.
All right. Basically, just,
it sucks
I don't
your
know,
dick.
Fold that around into a
your
fold
dick.
That around into a cylinder and then ram it into a fleshlight. And then, yeah, it'll like electrocute
isn't
your dick for
like,
pleasure.
Doesn't like hurt your
stomach? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. This is this
but I figure the thing is, we could sell enough units and give it a really embarrassing name on the billing so you won't want to return it. You won't want to call up, like, Fuck Ass Limited.
If only Billy Mays were still alive.
Like,
he could sell
gay
that
dudes
baby.
Getting cornholed, like,
how
LLC.
You guys that Billy
buy
Mays.
The dick electrocution system.
It'll hurt your cock.
Most dick electrocution systems just electrocute your cock. This one does it and fries it for good.
Are you tired of electrocuting your dick and still having it function afterwards? Well, no longer. This will permanently maim your member.
We electrocute your special resin.
Sick of shocking your penis for hours and having it not hurt.
But it doesn't in there. Buy now and get twice the hurt.
Stick it in your mystery dick pain place. This is
we'll throw in our free taint disruptor. It's an electromagnetic field that is attached directly to your taint.
It
You'll
is
never
personally
be able to
used
poop.
By Billy Mays.
Comes with your own free book light, a $20 value.
This is why I'm dead.
Comes with a free shit tarp.
No, these are all pertinent. It's like I would love it if it's just like comes with your free egg slicer.
Comes with Chef Tony's magic bullet. And ShamWow to clean up all that mess.
This soaks up way more than
your
usual
ShamWow
Kleenex.
Also electrocutes your tank.
It pays for itself after 3 months of Kleenex purchases.
By now, we'll throw in the free electric sterilizer attached to your yam bag, and you'll never have children again.
That actually would probably
most
be
most people
useful.
Have children, but not anymore.
Are you tired of humanity replicating itself from generation to generation?
Sneak into the YMCA and go after everyone.
I
slap it onto
am.
Their balls.
No more
erase
kids.
It like a magnet on a computer hard drive.
Let's all hear what Gina has to say.
I don't know what upsets me more, like the ideas behind this conversation, or that it took Alyssa pointing out this whole stream of thought for us to come up with it that we haven't come up. It took 97 episodes for us to talk about
my fleshlight electric.
JPA, you are so welcome. Order now, and JPA will also have our chain electrocuted. We're
what
at 50 Rock.
All right, wow. we should wrap this abortion.
Oh my god!
Up.
Because right. more Get hours are coming at you in the future. All so.
Right, but before we go, the Hitachi Magic Wand Vibrator Kit. Crime Fighter gives it 5 stars because you get what you pay for, and I'll tell you why.
Wait, why is it Crime Fighter?
Crime Fighter likes the fact that you can plug it in. No need to worry about battery life, and the cord is plenty long enough. In case you need to, like, masturbate in the other room.
In case you need to borrow your neighbor's electricity to use it.
Does it have a nice stop around there? You know, I don't, because I'm doing it in the shower, the cord is going to be a huge
that,
problem.
And I don't want
to. You don't own a pulsating shower head?
Can you? All right, the title of this
I do,
review,
but it just doesn't do the trick anymore.
From Tara says, in all caps, vroom for this one. The Hitachi.
And what does Taylor say?
Taylor. Ryan?
Ryan, you're the trot master.
It's the American muscle of vibrators.
Are you guys hungry? I'm so hungry.
That's what I was looking for.
The Hitachi Magic Wand is excellent, extremely powerful, even on the low setting. I like that it plugs into the...
Even on the low, it gives you a maximum of pleasure.
Try to bomb the clitoris.
These are great. Apparently, the fact that it doesn't use batteries is like really popular. You can plug it in.
You guys made your kiss.
Well, because you leave your vibrator in the closet for a while, and it doesn't work anymore, just like a game.
And then it starts making that pounding noise like Jumanji, and then it wants to come out.
And then you like put Jumanji. Your vibrator in a hiding spot, and everyone's like, it's like, what happens if someone finds this? And then you're like, may God have mercy on their soul.
So if you're a TSA worker.
Yeah. Bury it in Africa. That's my advice for the evening.
Didn't it show up in Asia in the movie?
Apparently.
Yeah, because the thing is, there were like two smoking hot Japanese bitches who were like, oh, what is this fucking wooden box doing at the beach? If that was like a big bag of dildos,
and then
they'd
David
be like,
Alan Grier came
holy
in and was
shit!
Like,
don't open it, I just let it go!
Wait, now does Monique
it's a big
use...
treasure trove of vibrators.
What about Monique?
Does Monique use the vibrator on her actual cunt or one of her fat rolls?
I think
second question.
On the fat roll, you don't win the Oscar otherwise.
I bet she
that
could
was she won an Oscar wearing performance for putting it on a fat roll and it sounded like it was on her cunt.
I bet she could put the vibrator.
I know what she's doing.
She could put the
You're
vibrator
fast,
on top of the fupa, and that should, through Reagan masturbationomics, should go down there.
Trickle down vibes.
Secondly.
This is great. Apparently, the Hitachi Magic Wand, all these reviews have been women talking about how great it is on their vag. Bought for my girlfriend. The Magic Wand is awesome if your intended use is massage. For other purposes, I recommend you be nearly dead from the waist down, as a low setting would stimulate an animal the size of a killer whale. But for back massage, I strongly recommend.
Wait, was this guy one of the trainers at SeaWorld?
No, they've all been killed by the whales.
Maybe that's why the whales are pissed.
May I suggest hyperdrive?
No, it's not. This is not a toy. It is a godsend. Women, if you need to be satisfied, take this honey home. It will never get tired, never go limp, never rather watch the game. 10 stars. She's dead from the waist down because apparently you need a hydraulic jackhammer to even touch.
Paraplegics.
It's okay for back rubs, but it's even better when you sit on it in the shower. With a nice suction cup to stick it to the towel.
Can you not feel anything from the waist down? Try the magic wand.
Laura J. Covington, quote, Bubbles, which is her username from Salt Lake City, Utah, which I've never been to, but I keep gathering peripheral information about it in snippets and pieces, and it sounds like the weirdest fucking place.
Oh, that
on
place
the
is weird, man.
It sounds
I've only
really
been there once, and
bizarre.
It's weird.
Our friend of the show, Safari Tanner, spent one night there staying with a friend of his.
Yeah, that's all I spent there, too.
And he was one person at the house he was staying at offered them lots of weed, and then the other person, who was like a 40-year-old guy, chased them out of the house with a shotgun for them considering accepting said weed offered by other housemates.
All right, I just want to end this podcast on a dramatic reading.
Uh-oh.
Of a Safari Tanner related quote.
Oh no.
We're bringing Safari Tanner into this again.
I've been making a catalog.
Is this a preview of episode 100?
Preview, yes. Can I go?
Pounce on it.
There's a loon out in the middle of the lake, and it starts whistling. That long, lonely whistle. Thing, and I look at it up, and that think that's cool. I wonder if Tanner can do it. And without me saying anything, he cups his hands and has a conversation with the loon, fiddles his fingers, and sound comes out. I'm going to be heartbroken to find out that Tanner does steroids. Performance-enhancing loon calls.
Oh, my God. We need to have like an old Japanese person read that shit. Neil, that was excellent.
Thank you.
Direct transfer.
Excellent finds,
sir. I bet they're a great...
What, do you remember what episode that was from?
54.
54.
One before the Bonecast, I think.
I've been cataloging a lot.
That's brilliant. The 80% of this show is just us yelling over each other. Yeah. I bet those segments are really confused and odd if you just string them together as one.
Oh, this
voice.
Is like three people yelling over each other in about 30 seconds.
That's fantastic. Neil, great idea.
And only more to come, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, stay tuned for episode 100,
oh,
which
so
will probably
good.
Be released
but
in 3 weeks.
We're at like 55 rock about now, but I guess we'll wrap it up.
Or so, we could be huge douchebags and divide this into two episodes.
No.
No, this should be one.
No, obviously. I know. I'm just a scumbag.
Though it would be funny because they'd be listening to the second episode and be confused why the first one cut off when it did and then hear that.
And then hear me at the end being like,
but here we go. I mean, for dramatic readings or anything, right, this is stuff that's easy. I know we got a lot of submissions during Guest Agenda of the Offender, which will be coming back soon. So you can definitely send me Guest Agenda of the Offender.
Won't. I bet you $100 that it won't be coming back.
You're on, Peter. I'll bet you $101 that it will.
But we won't be doing it in the 101st episode. That's a disclaimer, ladies and gentlemen.
But send us
try the magic wand.
Send us in Guest Agenda of the Offender. Send us in customer reviews on Amazon.com products if you want us to read. Those are always great. And any transcripts that you want to work up of old episodes, they're all up there on iTunes. You want to grab them. Or on the website, send us in, type them up. We'll have someone musing read it.
Exactly. And if you, and to quote Mike Rotelli and Oprah, you get it for free, and you get it for free, and you get it for free. So that's what I'm saying.
Was the last one Rotelli?
It was probably the second one. Oh. Probably. Rotelli were right in. I would say visit Rotelli to comedy.com, but
it's on hiatus.
It's on hiatus.
Is it really?
Unlike us. Sadly. And I think we put up more garbage than he ever will. But you know what? He feels differently, but he'll be back.
But speaking of Oprah, there was a Twitter.
We're like
when
a
she started her
over here.
When she started her Twitter account, she put in all caps lock. She's like, "Hi, I feel like I'm finally in the 21st century. Thanks, everybody." And then Shaquille O'Neal responded.
Hungry. I'm so hungry.
Just responded, caps lock is on. Someone made an
was
account.
Was his in caps?
No, it was all lowercase. And, someone made a Twitter account for Stevie Wonder, and he repeatedly updates, and it's
I've
all just someone
that.
Mashing the keyboard.
It's brilliant.
That's what I want to leave you guys on for tonight.
Yeah,
good call. The images.
Yeah, I guess this is the mashed keyboard in verbal form, signing off, right?
Good night, everybody.
Good night.